Well,
with other people,
with other people, I think that she's less cautious and more heavier was what I was going to say, but that doesn't seem right now. And like she'll give advice more freely. But I feel like, I don't know what it is exactly, but with her daughters, I think it's kind of a recognition of how heavy it is to relate to your mother. Mm-hmm. And her trying to deal with that in some way.
Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that.
Oh. Could I ask a question? That feeling you were talking about, your mother giving you the feeling that what you did was okay, how you turned out was okay. How did you communicate that to your daughters?
Well, we don't know. I mean, I don't know. You'd have to ask them.
How did you try to? And then we could ask them.
Well, you've got a problem because you have three people with three different opinions. Yeah. So that you can't ask one question and then go from there that there's some kind of an agreement on it, because there isn't. You got to remember that.
Okay. I have kind of one thing that flashed when you said that. Mm-hmm. And like, I think that my life was kind of scary to my daughter. And that, like, if anything, that for sure she didn't want to live the kind of life I lived. And that's, you know, I think that's always true. But I can see some of the things that frightened her about my life. And I think she's right on to be scared. I think it was, you know, like a lot of things were really heavy for us. And I'm glad that she knows that.
I got to object, though, because you're making a value judgment about what her, and she's not here.
I think.
Right.
I'm not sure.
But I agree with your statement that I don't think my daughters, and they obviously don't live the way I live, you know, or want to choose my life. That doesn't mean, I mean, I don't want to put any value judgment on that. You know, you'd have to check that out with them, what their reasons are. But it just could mean that they want to define themselves, you know, that this is, that they are really choosing the kind of life they want. I don't have the kind of life my mother has at all.
Well, I think that the thing that pops into my mind most about, you know, when I remember that I was beginning to choose that I didn't want to live the way my parents lived, was when I was little, my parents used to say, mostly my mom used to say, if you have to ask, then you're not old enough to do it. But if you can make the decision yourself and go ahead and do it, then you are. And so then when I started wanting to do things, and most of the time, I didn't need to ask ever if they fit into their life. But when they didn't fit into their life, then I needed to ask sometimes. But when I didn't need to ask anymore and they didn't fit into their lives, then it was okay to go ahead and do it. And those things were new and different. And they were things that I decided and chose myself, not that were already around me all of the time. And that, so like right now I'm living real different from my parents. And I like it better than how I lived when I was younger. But it's not what I want to live. It's not how I want to live yet, you know. it's not what I want. It, you know, that's still out there. I'm still trying to get there. But I think that, you know, the way my mother...
Why didn't you do what you want now?
I have to work up to it. I have to learn things.
Why
can't
you do it right now?
I feel like right now, this year, singularly, has been put aside for me to learn the things so that next year I will be doing them as close to as I can do them.
What's preventing you now is all I was asking.
That I have to learn them. Learning the skills. Like what I want to do is be, you know, is do some farming things. And in order to do that, I have to have some land, and that requires some money. And so, and then it also requires some skills. So I'm working on the money and the skills at the same time.
I'm asking you, I guess, because I used to have a lot of plans, and I'm not saying this about your plan, but it always bothered me, and like a lot of times this didn't work out. You know, like I had a plan that I was going to go to school days and take comptometry and typing, because San Francisco, that's all they wanted in the paper. And there weren't skills I had. Then I'd work nights so that I could go to school, that school days as a cocktail waitress. Then I would be able to get a daytime job that paid more than the cocktail waitress. And then I'd be able to go to school nights to be able to take the thing that really interested me, so that later I could get a job that fit into more of the kind of skill that I'd really want to have. Well, I never could, I can't think of to this day what it was I was really going to do.
Right. Well, I can't make plans that far ahead of time, even that complicated.
Well, that's all I could figure out, you know, because in San Francisco they didn't want me for but anything then, except office jobs.
Yeah, but you made the choice to live in San Francisco.
Yeah,
right. Right. And so that, like, right now it's important to me. Like, I'm in Minnesota, and I've always lived in Minnesota except when I lived for 2 years in New Mexico. And I want to buy some land next year, and do I want to buy it in Minnesota, and why? You know, it's too cold, you know, but I probably will, you know. And if I will, I wish.
Why will you in Minnesota, Beth?
It's easier. Want? It's easy to stay where you are.
How do you plant in Minnesota?
No, it isn't. The soil's rich. You can
rest all winter.
I have a question. With all these plans and goals that you're setting for yourself, how do you see yourselves fitting into the women's movement, if you do? And why do you think the women's movement might be important to you?
Well, for me, I don't see myself fitting into the women's movement in a political sense. Well, depending on how you define that, or how I define it. But I see myself more needing women around me, that's real important, but it's important in any way. Like, it doesn't matter if it's on a, it doesn't matter, it's important to me that there are women around me, and it doesn't matter if they're 2-year-old women or 80-year-old women, but that I am relating to other women. Like, that's an important part of what I see, you know, into all my goals. Like, I think that part of it is because I come from a family that's really into politics, that going to meetings and things like that, I don't get excited about at all. And, but I, you know, I would rather sit at work and talk to one of the women that I work with about nothing, you know, or about something, and you know, that's real important. And I think that for me, that's more connected with my identity of right now.
And that's supportive.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You don't sound like you mean it.
Depending on how you define supportive.
Well, what do you mean?
It's not supportive in terms of what lifestyle I choose for myself because of the women I work with. But it's not supportive of me to be around any generality of women. It's only the individual women. You know, it's not in general supportive. If I'm sitting down and having a conversation with a particular woman, it's supportive. But it's not just generally.
You say the women you work with, you work in like a secretarial pool?
No, I work in a greenhouse, and I mostly work around men and children. And women... Well, there are 4 of us that work there. A little girl who's 9, 2 16-year-olds, and then their mother.
And you don't find that supportive to be working with those women?
I don't not find it supportive. In general, it's not supportive. But sometimes it is. I can't generalize about it. Well, Mrs. Larson, the mother of the 2 16-year-olds, or of all the other women, fell down, and all of the boys rushed to help her. She slipped on some water, and she was just really humiliated that they were, because of the way that they rushed to help her up. She just wanted to stay there, and for her, and you know, and her two daughters and I went over and just sat with her for a while. She was just shaking and trembling because she fell really hard. And it was very supportive for that 10 seconds that we were all there together, knowing that it really hurts to fall down a bunch of stairs. And to not want to get up right away feels good. And to not feel the pressure that is there to get up and go ahead and plunge on and fight forward.
I mean, it would be all right for, with me to relate to men, too. I don't mind that. I don't know. I don't have it all sorted out exactly. You know, like, well, if there were men in the film group, what changes would that make in my mind? I know that if the changes were that those men were going to take over the whole trip, I wouldn't like it.
Well, let me ask this kind of a general question for all three of you, if any of you want to respond. Do you think that the women's movement is important?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Wait a minute. And things like that, which I really think is so fantastic. And then the awareness of ourselves as individuals. I think it's interesting to hear Jossie's response because of the maybe a generational thing. I'm not sure of that. But she's, you know, talking about relationships with women as individuals, not with women as a conglomerate. And that might be a whole reflection of what the women's movement and the awareness and the educate, you know, the whole development of it, part of the reflection of that happening. I find it at work and in organizations that I belong to, for example, if there used to be, and so that's supportive. Personally, it's supportive, the competition between women. You know, so many women are conscious of not being competitive now, where being competitive was the only thing they were in relationship to other women for a long time. And that's changed. Now, I know that everybody's going to be able to find exceptions, but I think and that's supportive, and I just think it's really exciting now in the women's movement. I think there are lots of different aspects to that. You know, there's the political, you know, politics aspect. There's the community kinds of things that women are doing, the identifying of each other and getting together in groups and getting together to help each other with specific problems. And all these things I think are really important, but basically because it will...
Yeah, I really like the fact that, you know, the whole trip of, that trip about women... Like, you used to meet a lot of women who said they can't relate to other women. They only can relate to men, and you always felt it was kind of an ego thing that they were laying on you. But in terms of my feelings, because I never felt that way, we were pretty matriarchal in a lot of ways in our family. But the thing I'm most in touch with that I like is that... if you're with a group of women as compared to some men in the group or a group of men, that it's less manipulative. With, you know,
after that, and yet it was something no one thought of beforehand. You know, that we're going to have a women's party and it's going to be this way. And I just think there's a lot of examples. Now, your other question was the importance of the women's movement.
Yeah. How is it important to you? And you've said that a little bit about, you know, how you get support from other women. I think that's really important. But I was just generally asking, do you think it is important, and how so for you? And
I'm not sure if it's important to me. It is, but in my everyday life, it isn't. You know, I don't have much contact with the movement as such. It's important that it's there, you know, and it's good that it's there.
Do you feel that any of your feelings are connected at all with the women's movement in any aspect?
Well, I feel like because the movement is there, it makes it okay for me to be the way that I would be anyway, probably. But it just makes it a little bit more all right around people who may not, who aren't part of the movement, because I'm mostly around people who aren't part of the movement. And so for them, it makes it a lot easier for me to relate to them because I have all the movement behind me, so that they can say, oh, well, she's just, you know, doing that. Or else it works the other way too. It works like when they hear something about the movement, they can say, oh, well, Jossie thinks that way too. You know, so it works to connect other people with the movement through me and to connect me, you know, to make it all right for me to be the way I am through the movement.
The word for that is support.
Yeah.
Is that support?
I'll tell you what I would like, I think. I'd like to do something with women, and it wouldn't have to exclude men, but it could. I mean, I don't like the idea of even bringing that up. But something with women, where there was enough of them so that, you know, it was a group, and whatever else was there, that was on more of a life-staining or survival level kind of thing. You know, I don't know what that would be. Otherwise, I'd be doing it.
Well, now, next week, there's going to be a coalition of women, and I think this is fantastic, because this is the kind of thing who are going to, all the women's organizations that are willing to, and it sounds like quite a few, are going to get together and declare their support and solidarity with the women in Wounded Knee. And now, I don't think that could have happened without all these things that have happened up until now, that they could see themselves even as connected with these women, and or that they can have an effect, you know, that sense of power, and that they can be articulate and express it, and they're going to have a press conference, and that is as a result of all of these, you know, the coming together and recognizing each other and feeling, you know, the feeling that the women in Wounded Knee are part of us. That now, obviously, all women don't feel that way, but there's a growing number of women who are going to be able to feel like that because of the women's movement.
Yeah, that's a life-sustaining and survival-level reaction to the, you know, because that's the situation at Wounded Knee is that kind of a situation.
Well, but I don't think the people who are organizing it have a full awareness of that.
No, well, maybe not, but it still is moving in that direction. But
yeah.
I'd also like to see women moving also from that direction. You know, I think it would be even a stronger place. Like, well, I hate to give an example because it won't be right. I haven't thought of what it is. But like if you had a society, a small society of women who got together to, you know, attempt an
live together.
Well, I don't even like to say that. It's too specific. I mean, like it...
A community.
It could be that way. It could be maybe they got, like some of the women are getting together and having, producing things together. They don't necessarily live together, but they're trying to make a survival level where they can get together and make something or, you know, produce something that sells. And, you know, but that goes into the heavy business thing, which isn't quite what I mean.
Working together?
Yeah, but some kind of working together.
That's a community.
It could be a community. It probably needs to be.
Well, a church is a community, but they don't live together, you know, or a community center.
I guess really I mean living together. Yeah. You know, with their families, maybe their husbands, if that's what they're into. You know, not rules about it. And beginning to really work some of these things out from their home base so that when they reach out to Wounded Knee or the political things or whatever, they even come from a stronger position.
I'd like to ask a question. How has the women's movement changed since you have been growing up, and has its change lent any special support to you?
I think that the Second World War made a big setback in a lot of ways to the women's movement, because for the first time women were really wanted, and you could go in and weld the airplanes, and they wanted you in working. The society really needed you for the first time, and so
the first time. Well, in just a few years, though. In industrialization.
Well, the First World War did another, I don't want to do a big historical thing, but it did another trip. They dropped their anti-war thing in two, and so did the Second World War. And so, everyone got patriotic and everything. But I think that the reason that they did was being needed and wanted was so important. So all of a sudden they set up the nurseries and they were out in society and they were really important, and that kind of, in one way it really spoiled the whole trip, because I remember just really trying to figure this whole thing out. Like when I went into the workforce, that just ended. And I wasn't wanted anymore, but I had, when I was a teenager, I looked forward to being wanted, and then I hit the job market and it was all over. And so I had to learn all that hard lesson. So I don't know. I think, my grandmother's in the women's, and it began to be, and it wasn't just the women's, there was a lot of other things happening around it, but that also was really, I don't know, I felt I could relax a little bit because everybody else was going to be in there. As Rachel said, something like that, that you didn't have to do all the struggling. And I really enjoyed that relaxing part.
Can I ask you a question? Do you think the women's movement has made things easier for you?
Oh, yeah. It's made things harder, too, in certain respects, but it's made things easier. I guess the harder thing, how I feel it's made things harder, and I think...
But that's really good. Like, I really dig it that Rachel comes home from work and says, oh, why did you cook dinner? I want her to keep saying that to me. I can keep liking to cook dinner, that's what I want to do. But I like her to say that to me, because then it reminds me I don't have to, because it's so easy to slip into that.